Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
It must be Friday.
It is.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be listening across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, and you are listening to Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. And just north into the east of me, a short flight on the Millennium Falcon, but a rather lengthy trip in any other way, is my guest, my co-host, the assistant to the host, the COO of big old billion-dollar South Carolina Federal Credit Union, the man in charge of keeping life simplified, Mr. Troy Hall. Happy holidays to you, sir.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Jason, and just welcome from beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, the sun still shines.
You got that right. We've got ourselves a coast-to-coast vibe today on our final edition of the Radio Free Credit Union Show for 2010.
I know Troy, that makes me feel so sad. It's going to be like the last show.
I was a little sad about that this morning, but you know, it's been a great year. We've had over 5,000 listens on the show. Ever since we had that tour de force in October, our audience has been growing. You've been bringing a lot of people to the show, and I'm super excited about what we're going to be doing in 2011.
Yeah, me too. And I am very excited about our very first guest. A little bit of time we spent off the air chatting ahead of time. I cannot wait to get her on board.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. For those of you who are just joining us, our guest this week is going to be the new president of the California Credit Union League. Her name is Diana Dykstra, and we're going to go to her right after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Troy Hall. I'm going to tell you a story, Troy, that I've never told anybody. If you recall, a couple weeks back, we had Sheila Finley with us from Prime Alliance. April of 2008, I had been invited to speak at the Prime Alliance Symposium in beautiful downtown Seattle, Washington. It was only the second time I had ever worked with Scott and Nike, the musicians. And when I went to that show, I was already beginning to think, because I had been hired to speak, I was paying them out of my pocket, I was paying their travel and stuff like that, and I was asking myself if it made good logistical, financial sense to keep bringing those guys with me to the show. After the show in Seattle, which was one of our absolute best shows, I was talking to who was then the president of San Francisco Firefighters Credit Union, Diana Dykstra, and I want to tell y'all, those of you listening who have seen, and there are thousands of you who have enjoyed our power of performance that we do in the credit union world all over the place, Diana's enthusiasm for our format and the way we were presenting that information may be the number one reason I continue to bring those guys with me to other shows. And so we are very, very happy to welcome to the Radio Free Air the new president of the California Credit Union League, Miss Diana Dykstra. Hey, how's it going?
Welcome, Diana.
Well, thank you. And, Jason, that's quite a story. And I still have the CD, and I listen to it religiously. And every time I do, I think about the message that it brings. So thank you.
Well, we were happy to get it to you. And I know the musicians are going to be happy to hear that. Listen, tell us, you've been the president out there for a little under 2 months. How did you get started in credit unions?
Oh, gosh, it was 1982. I'd worked for Bank of America for almost 6 years. I had taken a six-month leave of absence when my daughter was born and went back to Bank of America. I was ready to go back to work, and the only thing they could offer me was a vault teller job. And many of you know me. I'm brilliant on many levels, but handling cash isn't it. And for 5 months... 5 months before I left, there was this place that opened up down the street, the Golden One Credit Union, and it was stealing all my checking accounts. So I thought, well, I'll apply there. And lo and behold, I was interviewed and hired as a part-time loan clerk.
Wow.
Wow. So, you know, it's interesting how we all get our stories in, you know, and get our start in credit union and how that builds from just sometimes it's a very simple little thing like the story that you shared or something else a little more magnanimous in other regards. But I want to focus a little bit of my attention for my question with you on what you're doing there in California and kind of thinking about the fact that, well, this is a tremendous understatement that California is going through some tough times. And I know that you've got to be pretty brave to be stepping out there and say, okay, I'm going to guide credit unions, not just my own one little credit union, but I'm going to be responsible for a lot of credit unions, and I'm going to guide them through these challenging times. So my real question would be something like, you know, what's prepared you for this time in your professional life to get you ready for that? Or as our next generation would say, girl, what were you thinking?
Well, sometimes I wake up in the morning and ask myself that same question. But seriously, I was so fortunate in my 28-year career in credit unions to work for some great leaders. I was exposed to incredible things. In my life, if you look past the last 15 years, has really been about sharing the passion, sharing my knowledge, and making sure that credit unions not only survive but thrive. So this job was a natural extension for me. I love working for the credit union I work for or any credit union I work for, but I love credit unions more. So it's important to me to take everything that I've been given and apply it to the greater good of many versus one.
We're visiting with Diana Dykstra. She is the new president of the California Credit Union League. Now, Diana, you and I met, as I said earlier, in April of 2008. I had an op-ed in the CU Times this year, and the first line was 2007 was 10 years ago. To me, since we met in April of 2008, there has been decades worth of changes in the financial services marketplace. What do credit unions need to do in 2011 and beyond to remain a viable part of that financial marketplace?
I really think credit unions have an opportunity to reinvent themselves. It has been a tough 2 years, and you know, we lived through our unmanageable, I can't even say the word, it was a crazy 2 years. I'm afraid that sometimes we're just looking back and looking for blame and trying to fix what was broken instead of looking forward and saying consumers are looking for a difference, and the credit union is the difference. Credit unions really came into prominence after the Great Depression. We're coming out of the Great Recession, and let's find and tap into where the consumers are and where we can take them to be financially successful. So that's my message, and it's been tough, and if we didn't learn anything through this last 2 years, then shame on us. I think we've come out better. We're coming out more efficient. I think that for once in my 10 years of talking about collaboration, we're at a point where credit unions are really ready and standing up to say, hey, we really don't compete with one another, but we have to work together so that we all can do better for our members and consumers.
Yeah, I found in my experience, too, that collaborative model is what really sustains the credit union industry over the time, because it certainly isn't that we have captured a mega share of the marketplace. So, you know, there has to be something that we would be able to leverage, something that would be different about where we are. And so when you talk about reinventing, the credit unions would reinvent themselves, is there's something that you would specifically change about the credit union marketplace that might help that reinventing happen?
I think we need to stop focusing on a Me Too strategy.
Mm-hmm.
All credit unions aren't created equal, and all people aren't created equal. You know, we all have different needs, different desires, different places that we live and work. And I think we need to take a step back, and credit unions have to make some hard decisions. In any business, the hardest decision to make is what not to do. I think we need to take a look and say, why do I offer something that doesn't add value to our member? And if it doesn't add value, be brave and stop doing it. And focus your energy and your resources on the things that your member and your communities need, whether that's doing a $100 payday loan at a very low interest rate, or it's doing taxi medallion loans in the city of San Francisco because no bank will touch them. You just have to figure out what's best for you and stop looking around and saying, but everybody else is doing this, so I must have to do it too.
Right, it has to be more customized and more unique for you.
I told Troy in getting ready for this show that you were a straight shooter. You didn't mince words, and I loved what you said about, you know, credit unions seize their historical moment of opportunity after the Great Depression. That was sort of the modern beginning of what people refer to as the credit union movement. I'm not a big fan of that term, the credit union movement. I think the credit union movement came to an end at the end of the 20th century, but I think the good news is that the movement ended with credit unions as a viable part of the banking marketplace. And now what you just said is something that I hadn't even thought about. Here we are coming out of the Great Recession. Is this not another historical moment of opportunity for credit unions to reinvent themselves and do some things that distinguish themselves from banks? I think that's just a brilliant way to put it.
Well,
yeah, and I think that what you have to look at is what was the motivation behind the formation of credit unions from the Depression, and that was really for folks to have access to something that they were not getting access to elsewhere. And I think we also have to really rethink the model that we express ourselves at in the industry. And Diana, you're welcome to counter against this if you don't feel the same way. I don't want you to feel like you have to, you know, just buy into it because I'm saying this. But I really don't think that it's always about the lowest rate and it's not always about the best rate, because I know a number of credit unions across the country who do not offer the best rates. They offer competitive rates. But yet, if we all stand as an industry and shout out, oh, we're the best rates, and then you don't provide the best rates, then you look kind of foolish. So I think you have to articulate a little bit more about who you are in the marketplace by the fact that you might be providing some access to something that somebody couldn't have access to before. And our movement in the from coming out of the recession is to articulate that a little bit better than somebody else.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right on target. The internet changed our life. You know, all competition used to be local. Rates were local. You could say lowest rate, you know, no fees, blah, blah, blah. Go on the internet today, and I don't care what you offer, you'll find somebody that offers it cheaper. And consumers know that.
Yep.
You know, so the minute, if we lead with that, then we lose.
Wow.
There are better things we can do to improve the financial lives with the consumer and our members than tout low rates.
You know, Diana, that's a great point. And the other thing that I know is Troy is going to be very, very relieved that it took to the last show of the year for one of our guests to say, Troy, you're completely right about something. So,
yes,
stay
thank
right.
You. Thank you. You're welcome back again now. Okay. My party of one.
Diana, you stay right where you are. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with you right on the other side of this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
You're back on our final episode, our final edition of Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it must be Radio Free. And we are chatting with the very straight-shooting, straight-talking Diana Dykstra with the California Credit Union League. And Diana, today I am broadcasting from the epicenter of Generation Next. I'm broadcasting from my son's K-8 private Lutheran school here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And as I'm watching the kids walk around in their Christmas regalia, I'm looking at the 7th and 8th graders right now. In 2015 and 2020, some of those guys are going to be making some pretty significant decisions about finances. What do credit unions have to do now to begin earning the loyalty of Generation Next?
I think it goes back. We talked about our the credit union roots, and it really is going back to the roots. I look at Generation Next, XYZ. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for people that have their best interest at heart and not the best interest of the institution at heart. And we need to step up and be who we've always been. And I go back to, let's stop being mimicking what we see outside of our four walls. these kids want local. They want information. They want honest information. And they want a partnership. You know, they don't want to be spoken to. They don't want to be told how to do things. They want to choose their path, and we need to be open, listening to them. I mean, at San Francisco Fire, we would do a 3-time-a-year member survey, and I would scratch my head sometimes thinking, why do people want this? But I'm old, so now I realize that...
You're not that old.
Well, I mean, older than I was when I was young. But I realized...
Oh, okay, now that's good. I'll have to remember that one. I'll remember that one again.
You got it. But we have to listen, and we have to get out of our, well, nobody would want that. I mean, who would have thought anybody would want home banking? I remember working at Patelco in 1997, and people are, no, the internet's not going to go anywhere. It's just for a bunch of geeks. Hello?
Yeah.
You know, and who's... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I was going to say to add to what you talked about with the surveys and things, and this is the important thing, is that what Jason is asking is an important part of surveying that I think many times credit unions miss. He is asking questions to survey into a space that we do not yet occupy,
right,
and say, what do you want, which is what you've been saying from the very beginning. You've been saying credit unions look and pay attention. You don't have to do it because somebody else is doing it, but you need to ask the honest questions. What do you need to do? What is going to be different out there? What should I be doing for the group that I want? And I think that the problem that most marketing groups get involved with when they do these surveys is they only survey their existing members. Like,
exactly.
They're the ones that should be dictating what happens. I guarantee you, just like you, if we had asked our existing members about the internet, we would not be on the internet today, because they would be like, nope, I still want that statement. Are you kidding? Nope, I still want face-to-face. Nope. But they are embracing it and will do it, but no, they wouldn't have voted for it. And so now all of a sudden you have to say, what is the market you want to acquire? How do I speak to that market in order to do it? And you telling us that we need to be authentic, that we need to have the best interests of others in really being put ahead of the best interest for us, because I also firmly believe that if you do well for others, it comes back to you tenfold. And you want, and people do want local. They do want to deal. So what you have to do is create your internet presence as though it becomes a local presence by giving them some local access and doing that. Oh, you are right on. I now know why you're the president of this.
I told you. I stood up in my office and cheered when I found out that she had taken the helm of the California Credit Union League. A lot of people may not know this. I've been speaking professionally at events since 2002. And the California Credit Union League really jump-started my speaking career. I did a lot of events right away for the California Credit Union League. People may also not know this. I was stationed as a young serviceman in the Army in the 7th Infantry Division at Fort Ord, California. California occupies a very special place in my heart, old and young. And Diana, I'll tell you what, I want to congratulate you a million times over on your success. I think the credit unions in the California Credit Union League in Nevada are in great, great hands. And on behalf of myself and Troy, we want to wish you and your family the very, very happiest of holidays. Merry Christmas, and we sure hope we can get you back on the air in 2011.
Well, I have enjoyed it, Jason. And Troy, I'm glad we have a fan club of one.
Yes.
It's been an honor. I look forward to really championing credit unions as we move forward. And I can't wait to listen to Tina Hall on my birthday. Tina
okay.
was one of my students at Western Kingdom Management School, and she's
brilliant,
and I'm so excited with her path.
Well, we loved having her on this show. We loved having you on this show. And like I said, on behalf of everybody here at Radio Free Credit Union Show, thank you so much, and much continued success.
Happy
yes,
holidays, everyone.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. You are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, and you just heard from Diana Dykstra, president of the California Credit Union League. And Troy, can I get a witness from the congregation? The credit union marketplace needs about 1,000 more of her.
That would be an amen, brother. Amen,
okay.
Brother.
Exactly. I mean, She is so right. You know, when I told a story a few weeks back about going into a board meeting here in Texas and presenting internet banking, and literally, I don't mean figuratively, literally being laughed out of the room by all the octogenarian board members that were arrayed before me. They just couldn't believe that anybody would come into their credit union and suggest that people didn't want to come into the credit union, stand in line, you know, fill out the little deposit slip and check their balance and stuff like that. I know the California Credit Union League is in good hands.
Yes, I do too. And you know what's really interesting about that observation is this, is that what we have found statistically from every time we open another delivery channel is that we don't necessarily keep people from using the other ones, or that there is a ton of folks who then don't use it. They now adopt the new one and still use the other one as well. They just now can pick and choose the times when it's more appropriate to use that particular delivery channel than to use others. So I think that's really what we have to keep in mind as we continue to expand, is that we're not expanding in order to simply say, no, we're not doing it or we're not going to have it. We're doing it so that we can provide that customized, personalized needs, attention that we have to provide to the individual who is our vested member.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm glad we've got about 8 minutes left here on the show. I want to let everybody know we are going to be off the air for 2 weeks. We're not going to be broadcasting for a couple of weeks. We're going to be back, I believe it's on January 7th, with Brian Lauer, who's going to talk about credit union CUSOs. And there are some changes that are going on in the show. I will not be working for a credit union in 2011. And I will tell you what, that is going to give me a whole new range of things that I can talk about very openly and honestly. And in 2011, I am going to demand, I'm going to demand that the NCUA explain why for the past 2 years they have done more to harm credit unions than the combined efforts of Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, USAA, and any other big bank out there. And I think we're going to have a very, very honest conversation about that on this show next year, Troy.
Well, and I welcome any time that you want to have an honest conversation about any of the topics. I am happy to do that. And I also think that, you know, one of the things that we need to be watching for and paying attention to is how the Fed is now regulating the debit credit card interchange.
Yep.
That is huge information that just came out. And they are asking for opinion information. Hopefully our opinions will matter. Up through February the 22nd is the latest communication that I received. So right now they have initial proposal out, and credit unions need to respond through February the 22nd, and hopefully we will be able to do that. I know we've got some grassroots efforts we're doing here through CUNA Mutual, where we can go online and actually supply some comments to our legislators, but it takes more than just what CUNA does with a click, click, click. It's going to take us getting on the phone, engaging ourselves with those, with our legislators, really letting them know the damage that this is going to do to the industry.
Hey, Troy, I got a quick treat for you here. I'm going to have Lizette, a total member of Generation Next, just quickly say Merry Christmas to everybody out in our audience.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, the studio audience loves it. Okay. You know, she's a sixth grader here. I don't think there's a single survey that's being done in the credit union marketplace today that has asked her what she wants from a credit union 5 or 6 years from now, but I think you and I'll have an opportunity to talk about that. In terms of themes for the show next year, obviously generational stuff is always a big deal. Troy keeps us posted on a lot of the federal stuff, because when those things happen, they impact his credit union in a big, big way. I'm going to be an independent guy next year. It's not going to impact me as much, but Troy, I know you'll keep us up to date on those things. Something else that's happening next year. Happy birthday, Troy. The baby boomers turn 65 next year. Can you believe that?
Yes. And I think we're going to have some speakers to talk a little bit about the baby boomer market, aren't we?
Yep. John Verdalis with the Baby Boomer Project is going to be one of our recurring guests, because credit unions, hear this, hear it now. You will hear me repeat it again and again. Jedi mind trick, if I keep saying it, you will believe it.
Yes.
Credit
union. And then we also And also, too, some of our format will have some educational values
that we'll
be able to actually expand upon,
looking
at economic updates, providing folks with some serious economic, here is exactly what we are reading in the trades, here's what's happening, kind of, you know, opening that up for a little more interpretation and engagement. So,
And what I was going to say is that credit unions need to understand they have one last chance to pursue the retirement portfolios of the baby boomers. That 65-year birthday for the baby boomers, beginning in 1946 and now 65 years later in 2011, is significant because 65 is that retirement red zone. And at a certain point, just like their predecessors in the World War II generation, they get to a period of time as they approach 70, 71, and 72 where their risk tolerance becomes absolutely null, and they're not going to come into your credit union's retirement CUSO and move their money from point A to point B. So we're going to talk about that with some experts because, to be honest, Troy, even in my spoken sessions, I've begun to neglect the baby boomers as a demographic in favor of, obviously, where the new money is in Generation Next, Generation Y, and the millennials.
Well, I think that, and I appreciate the fact that you've mentioned neglect, but I don't think that's necessarily how I would capture it. And I'm not saying that just because I'm on the show. I'm saying that because that the baby boomer program, I mean, it's important for us to remember that and to market that fits a variety of demographics. I mean, our real model is to take us from a point of early entry until the part of late departure. And so with that, you would craft your messaging and your products and services to do that. So for the most part, credit unions have done a very good job of making sure that they have that baby boomer group handled. I mean, really, a lot of our marketing programs, a lot of things that we do, we have that pretty much to most degree we understand it because we understand the demographics of that. What we don't get is what you have been helping us understand more of, and that is the need to get this youthful exuberance built into the credit union model and to build that and to move that forward so it allows us to have a sustaining drive, because if we rely on baby boomers only, hey, it's not going to happen.
And, you know, you heard Diana talk about the CD she purchased in April 2008, and that's something else people are going to get to do with us next year on the radio program. You're going to get to go with us out to these concerts that we do at the high schools and the colleges, the concerts for financial literacy, because music makes a brand memorable. And Diana still remembers that it wasn't just some guy that showed up in Seattle 2008 with a bad haircut and a PowerPoint presentation, but a guy showed up with two musicians, and that music made the brand memorable.
You're right. What was going on with your hair in 2008?
And a happy new year. I don't know. I wish I knew. Hey, Troy, as we round out the year, I want to thank you so much for being a new show. You've added such a tremendous professional show. So, Troy, you got any big plans for the holiday?
Our big plans for the holiday is to just take care of the home front here and handle all of our crew from the hallway. And then many of us are going away after Christmas for the week after Christmas. So we're all going into some different areas and doing our own thing. So we're real excited about that, too.
Well,
how about you,
real,
Benny?
Oh, I'm just keeping it close to home, too. The family's coming in to my parents' house down in Universal City, just a little south of here, right next to San Antonio. And I want everyone in the hallway and out in Charleston, South Carolina, to have a blessed Christmas. And on behalf of everybody here, I just want to thank everybody, all of our guests this year, all of the people that have given up their time. You know, we broadcast on a very, very busy day at a lot of credit unions. Friday can be a very, very busy day at credit unions across the country. And we've had some wonderful guests. And I can't think of a better way to wrap up the year than having somebody like Diana, who has taken the helm of one of the most influential positions in the credit union marketplace. And like I said, Troy, it has been a real distinct pleasure to have you as the co-host, because I think you've really raised the level of the show with your knowledge and the fact that every single day you're responsible for a significant part of the banking world out there in Charleston, South Carolina.
Well, Jason, thanks very much, and I really appreciate that. And, of course, you know, I love you, bro, so I'm really happy that we're partnering for this and doing this. So I think you're going to – have an even better next year. So we're gonna rock it again next year, buddy. So
I know, and I'll remember to send Diana her early Christmas present, which of course, as being a guest on the show, she gets that nice picture of you on the motorcycle. So,
oh my gosh, that's
just so
funny.
You know, if you're out there listening, you want to be a guest on the show, you get that beautiful picture of Troy and when he's on the when he's on the motorcycle. Hey everybody, yeah. Merry Christmas, blessings on your holiday season, and we will see all of you in 2011.
Happy New Year.